Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So today we have something just a slight bit different. There's always a little bit of a difference in the bridge, hopefully. We aim to make it a little different than your normal, your average bear worship service. But as we're going into party planning, hey Gordon, you want one? Cool. You know, I have access to a lot of those, by the way. I can bring this home. This is my daughter, Arden, by the way. Doesn't like children's time, but she likes the free stuff. So we're doing Christmas is not your birthday, that it is Jesus' birthday. And so we talked about last week that party favors, I think, are just absolutely antithetical to birthday parties. Because when you go to a birthday party, you honor that person, you do what they want to do, you celebrate they want to celebrate. And so if we're going to plan a party for Christmas that is according to the way that Jesus would want to celebrate, there is really only one person we can look to. And that is the person who paved the way for Jesus to come. And obviously that would be God, number one. But number two, if you look at Matthew 3 and Luke 3, is John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is someone we're going to be looking for today, but John the Baptist, and I'll give some background on John the Baptist before I introduce our special guest speaker, Jean the Baptiste, because the thing that I've realized about McKinney, Texas, is that if I go and stand on a street corner, and I dress in camel hair, and I don't shave, and my hair's all scraggly, and haven't showered for a little while, I'm eating honey roasted locusts, and yelling at you to repent, you brood of vipers, for the wrath is to come. Chances are you're going to think I'm crazy and have some kind of bad flashback to a Vegas trip that you might have taken. So I wanted to speak to you in a way that if you were planning a birthday party, somebody yelling at you the entire time is probably not going to help you in your party planning. But the thing I do know about people in McKinney, Texas, is that if you're planning a party and an effeminate French man tells you what to do, you will listen to everything they say in party planning. And so I'll introduce you to Jean the Baptiste here in a little while. But John the Baptist, just to give you a little background on Jean, or John the Baptist, John was born to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the cousin of Mary, and Mary is the mother of Jesus. And so he is part of Jesus' family, and when John was conceived, Zechariah and Elizabeth were way too old to be having babies. And so Zechariah actually laughed when he found out from the angel of God that he was going to have a baby, and ended up being muted because God said to him that if you're going to laugh at this good news, then you won't talk again until you tell the good news afterward. So Zechariah is muted. He ends up talking again once John the Baptist is born. And John comes to fulfill the role of Elijah. Elijah is a great prophet from the book 1 Kings in the Bible, and takes on the prophets of Baal, takes on a lot of foreign gods to prove that God is the only true God and to help Israel get back on course with staying true to the one true God instead of all these other gods. And Elijah himself is a little bit of, let's just put it honestly, a wacko. Elijah dresses funny, he lives by himself, he is not part of the royal court as some prophets are, he only eats what the land provides of him. Goes and lives in caves when he's scared, different kind of things, but he wears camel hair, and he is part of a group called the Nazarites. Samson is a Nazarite. If you remember Samson, and he couldn't cut his hair in that story, and part of a Nazarite birth pledge is that they will not cut their hair, they will not shave the hair on their face or at their temples. If you see a Hasidic Jew today, you might get an idea of what a Nazarite is. They live very pure, very clean, very structured according to the law. And so Elijah is part of this group, and John the Baptist becomes part of this group because when he's conceived, it's a miraculous conception, even though it's between two people. And Elizabeth says, the heads of his hair will not be cut, the hair on his face will not be shaven, and he will be dedicated to the Lord. And so he has this all the way from birth as Elijah and as Samson do. Now Elijah was also said, Elijah didn't die. Elijah is one of the few people, he got whisked away in a chariot of fire up to the heavens. And so it was always said that when the Messiah was to come, that Elijah would precede the Messiah. So when you saw Elijah come back, you knew the Lord was about to come. Well, John fulfills this Elijah role. He comes before Jesus comes on the scene, born about 6 months earlier than Jesus, and he's wearing camel hair. He is unshaven. He's eating locusts and honey. In fact, he's eating things that will keep his body pure according to the law of Moses. In Leviticus, you find it in Deuteronomy. And locusts, of all things, are one of the most pure form, according to all law. So if you really want to be devout today, go home and have a nice honey-roasted locust for lunch. And you can live according to John the Baptist. But so he fulfills this role because he comes before things. And he joins this group called the Essenes. John wants to remain incredibly pure for his role. So he joins this group called the Essenes, which live outside of town, outside of Nazareth, a little bit to the west of town. But they're very much recluses. They only feed off of things that they don't have to go into town to buy. They don't buy anything. They don't interact with society. They study, they fast, and they get ready for the time to come. They wear very plain garments like the camel hair and abstain from intercourse so that they don't belittle their body that way in their belief. They abstain from alcohol. They abstain from anything that will, they think, defile their body at the time the Lord comes, because when the Lord comes, they're going to be ready. And so John the Baptist, from his very birth and continuing throughout his life, is an outsider. He's what we call the voice calling out from the wilderness, and then, you know, repent, follow you the way of the Lord. He's known for very fiery sermons. John the Baptist is not well liked, because he is that guy who's going to get up in your face. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. He's basically going to tell you how it is, and he's going to yell at you while he's doing it. Is the common knowledge about John the Baptist. But he's a major figure in preparing people for Jesus' coming, because it's the message of get on the right path so that Jesus has the least resistance to get into your heart as Jesus comes. And so I want to invite David Givens. David, are you here? Yeah, David's over there. David is going to read John's fiery sermon for you. This is from Luke chapter 3, 7 through 17, if you're following along with David, and then you will be introduced to your first glimpse of Jean the Baptiste for your 21st century
is
years.
Is this on?
Probably not.
Is this one on? Yeah. This is coming out of Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'And we have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to rise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of those trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share one another, or must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers who asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats of false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not to worry to I am not worthy to unite to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing." floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
Who has everybody been talking about for the next party platter in McKinney, Texas?
Jean the Baptiste, he's great!
Jean the Baptiste.
Jean the Baptiste.
Jean the Baptiste.
Jean the Baptiste.
Go get Jean the Baptiste.
Jean the Baptiste.
John the Baptist, of course.
Man, that dude's crazy.
John the Baptist, at your service.
Hi, I'm Mary. You might have heard of me. My son is Jesus, and his father is God. And, well, he's got a birthday coming up, and what kind of party do you give for Jesus? So I called John the Baptist, because he is an awesome party planner. You should call him, too.
At Essene Party Planning Services, Jean the Baptiste will take care of every need according to every value that you have, because a true party flows out of what is truly important to you. Now, Many people ask, where does the magic come from, Jean the Baptiste? And the magic does not come from my fabulous camel hair coat, but the magic certainly does come from the one who is to come.
I was having a really hard time getting people to RSVP to my party. I just couldn't get their attention. But Jean the Baptiste took care of all of that for me.
You brood of vipers! Who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent and be baptized, for the Lord is near!
All these names. I can't believe he wants us to write invitations to all these people.
I know, this is a lot. This is like really awful.
I know, it's like to the whole world.
It's gonna take forever.
And a day.
You know what? Let's just invite the church. I've got the directory right here.
The
just...
church people, that's a great idea. It'll be a lot quicker.
No, no, no! Jesus wants everybody at the party! Fill out the invitations. Go!
Bonjour, you brood of vipers. Je m'appelle Jean le Baptiste. And I will cease from any more accents because I can't figure out if it's French, Iranian, Armenian, Italian, or who knows what else. And oh, you should have seen the look on the homeschoolers' faces on Friday afternoon when we yelled at them from the rooftops. But I am Jean the Baptiste, party planner extraordinaire, original party planner for Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the very ones in whom I believe, and I have been told by your pastor, that you are planning parties for in, say, a month or two. And so I did not want to come as my normal crazy self because, again, you would not listen to me. So again, I come as the fabulous Jean the Baptiste, so that you might listen to me and be fully engaged in what I have to say, and you will want to be fully engaged in what I have to say because I am the best party planner that you will ever have in your entire life, if you are planning a party that is to usher in or that to celebrate the reign of the Messiah. But let me get to the point. The best party possible is that very party. The party that will follow the values of Jesus the Christ, the very one in whom I sacrifice my life for, and hopefully you all are doing as well. In fact, your pastor says to me that in Stonebridge, appearance is everything. But he says these people want their appearance to be that as soon as you meet them, as soon as you walk into their home, as soon as you will dissect their lives, that their appearance says nothing but the Lord is here, the Lord is my king, the Lord is coming into my life again. And so I come here for all of you people ready for the Lord to come into your lives with a few party planning tips as you go into what you call the holiday season. Again, I'm going to try and cut the accent out. Now, if you listened to my famous sermon at one point, or you read it in Luke 3, you might have gathered one specific part of it, and this has to do with the invitations you sent out. Invitations are the key part of party planning, and some party planning circles will tell you that the people you invite will make the party. If you invite the most fun people, or the people who bring the most food, or the people who bring the best games, or the people who are going to do who knows what during the party, depending on what you give them to drink, those are the people that you want to invite to your party to have a fun party. But I here to tell you a little bit different than Jesus looks at invitations differently. And this is from verse 11, chapter 3 of my favorite famous sermon. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. And you might have heard that and thought it sounds a lot like what you people call missions. Missions are awesome things. Missions are aimed to help people. Missions are aimed to, when you see somebody who is suffering, who needs a coat to keep warm, who needs a food to be hungry, in that moment, they are great for that moment. There are wonderful things to make somebody's day brighter and to enable their life to be better in that moment. But this is not an invitation to a party. This is something that we often think of where we go to where they are, we drop off our stuff, and we go back to the party that we enjoy. And this is not the party that Jesus talks about when he comes. He is all about opening up ourselves. Now, what is a party, and what is an invitation to come to a party, than not opening up your home and saying, come, eat my food, drink my drink, enjoy my party, relax on my furniture. I have got it covered. Let me entertain you while you come to my party. And this must be the same with the invitation to the party, the Lord's party, that everyone has the ultimate experience in the party that you are going to throw in the Lord's name. And the one part about invitations is that you can send it out to all 7 billion people in the world, but all 7 billion people in the world are not going to feel comfortable coming to the party that you throw. Now, we could be talking about our individual lives. We could be talking about the party we throw as Christians, or we could be talking about the party we throw as the number two place to live, according to Money Magazine, in America. Not all people are going to fit into that. And here's an example of how we typically do things. We throw a party, we dress in our best stuff, we put out the best food, we go there. Now, say that person that you saw earlier in the day and you had two coats and you threw that coat to that person and then you left and went back to that party. Just because they have your new coat doesn't mean they're not going to feel like everyone's looking at them at your party. Because they're not on the same playing field as you in their life right now. In fact, they have a new coat so they're a little bit warmer, but they're still at the same place. What I mean when I say, when you have two coats, give them one. If I have food, give them some, is that if you have two, all of a sudden you have one, and they have one, and you're even. If I have food and they don't have food, all of a sudden you both have food, and you're even. This is a matter of justice. This is a matter of, instead of handing down my old rags, I'm going to give them a new nice suit so they might get a job based upon that. They have a better chance of getting somewhere in this life. Because when Jesus comes, Jesus doesn't come and heal people and then just leave them. Jesus comes, heals people, invites them back into a community so that they may be welcome and accepted as the person God created them to be. And so if we're really going to celebrate Jesus, we are going to have to make this a hospitable place. A place that everybody feels like they are coming and feeling the love of Jesus instead of perhaps judgment or inequality or ineffectiveness in their own life. No matter what choices they've made or no matter what choices you've made. An example, the word hospital comes, hospitality, hospital. If you walk into a hospital, the goal of that hospital is to do anything possible in their power that you're walking out on your own 2 feet after that. And so when I talk about inviting people, I talk about making sure they can walk into the party of Jesus Christ on their own 2 feet, bringing justice into this world. I spoke about this a little bit in the sermon before the sermon that you heard today. I said in Luke chapter 3, verse 5, if you want to follow along, that when the Lord comes, every valley shall be raised, every mountain shall be made level. Now, I said this meaning that I didn't want anything to inhibit Jesus' path into those people's lives. Because if they're stuck in a valley, Jesus has to go down pretty low to find them. And so if you are planning a party, then you can help me out because you can go to the people who are in the valleys the most, whether it is physical, financial, emotional, whatever it is, and you can help raise them out of that so that their bellies will not be grumbling too loud to hear the good news of Jesus when he comes and that their minds will not be elsewhere, sunk in depression when Jesus comes. And so I invite you to go into those valleys. Now, the other thing, though, is your pastor drove me around, picked me up from the Time Machine Airport that I flew into, I noticed that your houses are very similar to the Pharisees. Now, Pharisees used to be, let's call them clients of mine back in the day. Now, they didn't like me all that much. But did you know that Jesus ate with Pharisees too? That in two different instances, Luke chapter 7, 36 and Luke 14, 1, Jesus ate with Pharisees, the very people. We often think of Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and those people that no one liked on the fringes of society. But Jesus spends time with the Pharisees, the people on the mountain as well. Now, he does eat with Mary, Martha. It seems that Jesus cared for everybody. As long as they wanted to invite him into their house, he would eat with whoever did that. And so there's a story that Jesus told. If you want to follow along, this is in Luke 14, 15 through 24, but I'm going to paraphrase it because, 21st century hearers need to hear it a different way. A great person threw a huge party with a lavish feast. As a great person should do, all of the brightest and boldest stars of the community were invited, and the invitations were sent by messenger individually, as only the finest manners would do for this crowd. And as the great person was arranging their table and overseeing the party preparations, the messengers all came back and noted that every one of the guests seemed to be busy with other things. One was on the computer checking investments, one was test driving a new car, and one was spending time with her new husband. The host was incredibly upset that people would refuse his finest gifts for the sake of what he deemed trivialities, but did not want the party to go to waste. So he sent his messengers back out and told them, invite the poor, the slaves, the blind, the crippled, anyone who has no place to celebrate. Let them come to me. Because those who should know how great this party is will not come, but the ones who do not know how great this party is will appreciate it all the more. Now, Jesus spends a lot of time talking about lifting the poor out of those valleys and making sure that everybody is welcome into the kingdom of God. And this is a parable that suggests that. The party is for everyone. But for my sermon, I also said that the mountain shall be brought low. And when Jesus is eating with the Pharisees, well, there's a reason why in my big sermon I say, repent, for the Lord is near. That it's not necessarily for one individual sin, but if you're on a mountain, you are looking down at everybody else. And if Jesus has to scale that mountain to get how wonderful and mighty you are, then there's a chance that mountain needs to go away. So that your healthy ego is found on that level playing field where Jesus marches. And that Jesus doesn't have to scale through the mountaintops of greatness that you have surrounded yourself in worldly things to get to your heart. And so Jesus speaks to both, the valleys and the mountains. And in effect, as Jesus is coming, Jesus' goal is for us to all meet on the same turf, both raised and lowered. So as you're writing your invitations for the party, remember that they are going to anyone and everyone that you could possibly ever invite. Because Jesus' dinner table, Jesus' party is not closed to anyone. In fact, Jesus came so that the whole world may be saved. You can find that several times in what you call the Bible nowadays. And you are inviting them to witness the world the Savior intends, which is not a world where they will feel inadequate and not a world where you will feel superior. And so 7 billion people is a lot of people to invite to this party. Would you agree? 7 billion people is a lot to invite to this party. So the one thing we are actually going to need to do is we're going to need a lot of people to go out and spread the word, to commit their lives to going out and inviting people to the party. We're going to need some more people to do the logistical work of setting up the party along with me. The other thing we're going to need is a whole boatload of money to accommodate 7 billion people. Because one of the things that money does is it unites us in our deepest fear and deepest need and deepest passions. Because we pull it into the same pot saying, I'm all in with that. Because anybody who's thrown a party around here knows how much money is spent on a party. And so I want to invite the ushers to go ahead to collect this morning's offering. We're going to pray over it first. But I invite you to go ahead in this, what we call repentance lifestyle, the one that focuses every inch of our being on the party of Jesus Christ, to go ahead and start. You've started with your hearts, you've started with your songs, you've started with all these things that you do in worship, and now we continue with our money. And as you collect your offering, if you have an Operation Christmas Child basket, that is a wonderful thing to bring up here. And kids, if they want to come feed this fish that you have up here as well, I invite you to do that. But let us pray over what you call offering as we offer our entire beings to the party planning process of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, you are to come and we are to pave the way for your arrival. We are to announce that those who need to be leveled and those who need to be raised up would do so, and we must do that ourselves. And so use every part of it, our hearts, our songs, our souls, our finances, our time, everything about us, that it would be centered in you, so that all people when invited would find a warm and wonderful place in the heart of your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our Bridge Service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.